Good morning. Okay, before we start, according to Theravada tradition, we pay homage to the Buddha first by reciting Namo Tassa three times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Today, I choose a very important sutta to share with you. This sutta is taken from Samyutta Nikaya, Kassapa Samyutta. The title is The Counterfeit of the True Dharma, or the Imitation of the True Dharma. And every sutta starts with, thus I have heard. The Buddha, on one occasion, the Blessed One was dwelling at Savatthi, Anatta Pindika's park. Then the Venerable Mahakasapa approached the Blessed One, paid homage to him, sat down to one side, and asked a very important question. He asked, Venerable Sir, what is the reason? What is the cause? Why formerly there were fewer training rules, but more bhikkhus were established in final knowledge? Why now there are more training rules, but fewer bhikkhus are established in final knowledge? So during Buddha's time, when Buddha first gained enlightenment, he preached Dhamma Chakka Pavattana Sutta to the five monks. After that, at that time only Kondanya became stream enterer, Sotapanna. After that, the Buddha preached again Anatta Dhakkhana Sutta, the characteristic of non-self. Then all the five monks become Arahant. And at that time, only few rules. As Buddhism expanding, more and more monks, more and more people enter into Buddha's dispensation. And because more and more people enter into Buddha's dispensation, and some of them do not behave well, so Buddha had to set more rules in order to restrain them. For example, during Buddha's time, one of the monks, he went for pintapata, and he pintapata for a lot of food to keep to store for 2 or 3 days. He dried the food, put the food under the sun and dried it. And next day, he didn't have to go pintapata anymore. So he ate the same food for 2 or 3 days. And when Buddha know this, Buddha forbid, not allow them to do the same thing. So Buddha set the rule. One of the rules is the monk cannot store the food. Now we have 2 to 7 rules. One of the rules is the monk cannot store the food. So when more and more monks do not behave well, the Buddha have to set more rules. Another monk, he went pindapat in the evening, which is not proper. So Buddha set another rule: monk cannot take any meal at improper time. Improper time in afternoon. So all these rules were set when the monk did not behave well. If the monk behaved well, the Buddha didn't have to set the rules. And one of the monks, after became monk for some time, he went back to his house, his parents, and the house formerly he stayed with his parents and his former wife. So at night, his former wife seduced him again, and he committed sexual misconduct with his former wife. So when Buddha knew, Buddha set another rule: the monk cannot stay with the female under the same roof, to protect the monk. So all the rules are set gradually to restrain the monk, also to protect the monk, to protect their practice. So more and more rules are set until now, 227 rules for the monk. But even though, that's why Kassapa asked a question: but why now there are more training rules, but fewer bhikkhus are established in final knowledge? And the Buddha answered, "That's the way it is, Kassapa. When beings are deteriorating and the true Dhamma is disappearing, there are more training rules, but fewer bhikkhus are established in final knowledge. Kassapa, the true Dhamma does not disappear so long as a counterfeit of the true Dhamma has not arisen in the world. But when a counterfeit of the true Dhamma arises in the world, then the true Dhamma disappears." Just as Kassapa, gold does not disappear so long as counterfeit gold has not arisen in the world. But when counterfeit gold, imitation gold, arises, then true gold disappears. So the true Dhamma does not disappear so long as the counterfeit of the true Dhamma has not arisen in the world. But when the counterfeit of the true Dhamma arises in the world, then the true Dhamma disappears. Then what is the counterfeit of the true Dhamma? Now the counterfeit of the true Dhamma has arisen in the world. What is counterfeit of the true Dhamma? So according to commentary, any suttas other than the authentic words of the Buddha are grouped as counterfeit of the Dhamma. The commentary gives some example. He said, he mentioned, the commentary mentioned secret Vinaya. You may not know because you won't learn from true Dhamma. So you may not know this counterfeit Dhamma. Some suttas are mentioned. For example, the secret Vinaya, the secret Vesantara, and the Mahasada Pitaka, Angulimala Pitaka, Vedala Pitaka. All these are grouped as counterfeit of the Dhamma. And it was said that the Vedala Pitaka had been found from the Naga dragon, from the dragon abode. And why all this sutta are grouped as counterfeit of the true Dhamma? Because the teaching in these suttas are not consistent with the teaching of the Buddha. The teaching, the aim of the teaching of the Buddha is to uproot or eliminate or destroy defilements. If that sutta, the aim for those counterfeit Dhamma, did not aim for elimination of defilements, but for the arising of defilements, then they are termed as counterfeit of the Dhamma, counterfeit of the true teaching. The aim of the Buddha's teaching is to eradicate the craving, the origin of all sufferings. The Four Noble Truths is peculiar teaching of the Buddha. And the first one, the Noble Truth of Suffering, is five aggregates of clinging. And what is the cause? Because of craving. Craving for what? Craving for sensuality, number one. Number two, craving for becoming. And number three, craving for non-becoming. These are the origin of sufferings. What is the craving for sensuality? Sensuality including external six sense objects. Visible objects, sound, smell, taste, tangible object, touch, and the mental object. You crave for beautiful visible object. You crave for sweet sound, music, rock and roll. You crave for good smell, good taste, good soft touch, and you crave for mental image, good mental image. This is called six external objects, and also six internal of six sense bases. Your eye, you crave for your eyes, beautiful eyes, ear, nose, tongue, body, and your mind. So craving for this sensuality that you enjoy in sensual pleasures. When a person enjoy in the sensual pleasures, then they perform the karma, whether good karma or bad karma, whether akusala or kusala. Once karmas are performed, it leaves behind karmic tendency. This karmic tendency, when ripened, will produce new life. We call rebirth. It produces new life. When there is life, there is aging, sickness, death, lamentation, pain, sorrow, grief, and despair. Thus arises the whole mess of suffering. So the aim of the Buddha is to eliminate the craving for the sensuality. And how about the craving for becoming? Becoming here means karmic. Karmic becoming, karmic process becoming. Any karma, as I say, left behind tendency that will produce, left behind karmic tendency will produce new life. So if you crave for becoming, becoming another word, you crave for life. Some sutta may mention eternal life. Sifang Sijie, they reborn in a Western Pure Land, then the life lasts forever. This is called eternalism, the view of eternalist, Sasatadhiti. This is against Buddha's teaching. In Buddha's teaching, there is no eternal, except Nibbana. Nibbana is considered permanent, Nitya. So if a person crave, if any sutta, any teaching talk about this eternalism, then this against Buddha's teaching. Because when there is life, there is aging, sickness and death. There's sorrow, lamentation, pain and despair. But you may argue, there's also happiness in life, isn't it? Life is also full of happiness, full of enjoyment. Enjoyment you have with your family members, with your beloved wife and husband. But can all these things last forever? Your beloved wife may turn out to, or your marriage is end up with divorce. And your beloved son may suddenly meet with accident and you lose your beloved son. So what you previously consider happiness may turn out or end up in suffering. Because of impermanence, because of impermanency, that is suffering. Buddha said, what is impermanence is suffering. So craving for this becoming, craving for life, this craving itself is one of mental karma that can produce another new life. And craving for becoming is associated with the view of eternalist. And next one, craving for non-becoming. Craving for non-becoming is associated with the view of annihilation. And this person thinks after death, everything perishes away. Nothing remains. Buddha's teaching talk about cause and effect. If the cause for rebirth to arise does not cease, how can rebirth cease? So even somebody aim for annihilation after death, but such thing cannot happen because the cause for the rebirth still intact, still there. So the aim of the teaching of the Buddha is to help us to eradicate all types of craving. When craving is gone, then one lives happily. So Arahant live happily because they have already eradicated the craving. Okay. So any sutta other than the authentic words of the Buddha, or any sutta encourage more life, encourage enjoyment in sensuality, or encourage eternalism, all these are called counterfeit of the true Dhamma. And what is the true Dhamma? There are three types of true Dhamma mentioned in commentary. Number one is pariyatti, learning knowledge. We learn from the sutta, abhidhamma, all these are called pariyatti, learning knowledge. And number two is pattipatti, practice, put into practice. Number three is pativeda, realization. Realization. So among these three, learning knowledge, practice and realization, among these three, commentary say that learning knowledge is most important. Why? Without this learning knowledge, without sutta to say what is true, what is correct, what is Four Noble Truths, what is Satipatthana Sutta, how to practice concentration, how to practice vipassana. Without this mentioned in the sutta, how are you going to start? You don't know how to start. But when pariyatti, learning knowledge, is there, then people follow the sutta accordingly. They put what they have known into practice and finally they realize nibbana. So among these three, learning knowledge comes first. When pariyatti disappears, then we don't know how to practice. If we don't know how to practice, how are we going to attain nibbana? How are we going to end all suffering? How are we going to uproot all cravings? So preserving the Sutta Abhidhamma is very important. Okay, the next one, then the Buddha continued. It is not the earth element, kasapa, that causes the true Dhamma to disappear, nor the water element, nor the heat element, nor the air element. It is the senseless people. It is the senseless people who arise right here who cause the true Dhamma to disappear. The true Dhamma does not disappear all at once in the way a ship sinks. There are kasapa, five detrimental things that lead to the decay and disappearance of the true Dhamma. What are the five? Here, the bhikkhus. The bhikkhunis, bhikkhunis, the male lay followers, the female lay followers, dwell without reverence and deference, without deep respect to the teacher, the Buddha. They dwell without reverence and deference towards the Dhamma. They dwell without reverence and deference or deep respect towards the Sangha. They dwell without reverence and deference towards the training. They dwell without reverence and deference towards the concentration. These kasapa are the five detrimental things that lead to the decay and disappearance of the true Dhamma. Understand? What are the five? Not respect to the Buddha, not respect to the Dhamma, not respect to the Sangha, not respect to the training, and not respect to the concentration. You must bear in mind these five. The disappearance of true Dhamma is a great loss for us, and we are responsible for the long lasting of the true Dhamma. Buddha said, not only monk, not only bhikkhu, bhikkhunis, but female lay followers, male lay followers are also responsible for the disappearance of the true teaching of the Buddha. So today I would like to talk a little bit more about this training. Not respect to the Buddha. Buddha is worthy, but we talk the quality of the Buddha first. Buddha is worthy of our respect because Buddha possessed 9 qualities. We always recite Buddha's quality. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vicca Charana Sampanno Sugato Loka Vidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarachi Sattha Deva Manusanam Buddha Bhagava. 9 quality. Please don't recite without knowing the meaning. If you recite without knowing the meaning, there's no much beneficial. Must study what's arahant. Okay, what's the meaning of arahant? Arahant is cure of refinements, called arahant. Then samma sambuddho. What's the meaning? Samma sambuddho. Enlightened one. And what's the meaning of buddho? What's the difference between samma sambuddho and buddho? Yes, samma sambuddho means he gained enlightened by himself. That's why called samma sambuddho. Buddho, the meaning of buddho is awakening one, enlightened one. Enlightened of what? Awakened of, or he realized the four noble truths. It's called enlightened, awakening. Buddho is called enlightened or awakening, or completely understand the four noble truths. Samma sambuddho, vijja charana sampanno. Vijja is knowledge. He has a lot of knowledge, like five psychic power, and also the destruction of all things. Asavakkhaya vahang, asavakkhaya jnana. Destruction of all things. Vijja, and also five psychic powers. Charana, we have 15 charana conduct. So you must know all these 15 conducts. Don't just recite without knowing the meaning. Vijja charana sampanno sugato, well gone. Loka vidu, the knower of the world. We have three types of world. What are the three types of world? World is called loka in Pali. Loka. Number one, satta loka, the world of beings. Number two, sankhara loka, the world of formations. Number three, akasa loka, the world of space. So, about concerning these three worlds, Buddha fully understand. That's why it's called sugato loka vidu. Loka vidu, the knower of the world. Satta loka vidu, anuttaran purisadama sarati, incomparable leader of men to be tamed. Buddha has a very special quality. When he talks to you, he knows your tendency. He knows whether you are sharp or dull, or what type of dhamma suitable for you. So he preached the correct dhamma. Just by listening to Buddha's preaching, you can gain enlightenment immediately. You no need to meditate so hard. Suffering from the pain, back pain, shoulder pain. Because nowadays, we don't have this type of quality like Buddha. Even Venerable Sariputta Moggallana has no this type of quality. But Buddha, only Buddha has this type of quality. That's why in Burma, many people, they pray to meet with the Buddha, Maitreya Buddha in their future life. So that when Buddha preach one Dhamma, they can get enlightenment very fast. Because Buddha know your faculties, what type of Dhamma suitable for you. So this is the quality of the Buddha. Recall Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusana, the teacher of the human and devas. Not only human being learn from the Buddha, all the devas also, many devas also learn from the Buddha. For example, the famous Mangala Sutta. The famous Mangala Sutta was preached to the devas. At that time, many devas, at that time in the human world, they are talking about what is mangala, what's blessing, blessing, what's blessing. So they discuss, cannot find solution. Then this news spread up to the deva world. And the deva also think, what is mangala? What is the blessing? So they cannot find the answer. Then deva came down to the human world and posed the question to the Lord Buddha. And the Lord Buddha preached Mangala Sutta. After this sutta, many, many millions of Deva become enlightened. So Buddha is the teacher for all men and gods. Sattha Deva Manusanang Buddho. Buddho is enlightened one. He has fully realized Four Noble Truths. Buddho Bhagava blesses one. So these are the nine qualities of the Buddha worthy of our respect and reverence. Okay, next. If we do not respect to the Dhamma, also the true teaching will disappear in the world. So Dhamma, we have six qualities. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Svakato is well expounded. Well expounded. Good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good at the end. Good in the beginning is we start with, let's say, morality. Good in the middle is concentration. Good at the end, vipassana and realization of nibbana. That's why the Dhamma is well expounded. Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akkaliko Ihi Pasiko Opa Naiko Pachadang Veritabo Vinyo Hiti. Among these six qualities of the Dhamma, the first one, well expounded, belong to mundane side. The next five, Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akkaliko Ihi Pasiko Opanayiko Pachadang Veritabo Unyohiti, this five belong to super mundane. Belong to, we have nine super mundane Dharma. The first eight is four path and four fruition. Four path including Sotapanna, stream enterer, path consciousness. Once returner, path consciousness. Non-returner, non-returning path consciousness, and arahant path consciousness. And this is called four supramundane path consciousness. And this four supramundane path consciousness have the ability to destroy the connected defilements. And the fruition consciousness. We have stream enterer, fruition consciousness. Once returner, fruition consciousness, non-returner, fruition consciousness, and arahant fruition consciousness. This eight plus one nibbana. This nine are called supramundane dharma. So the quality of the dharma six, the rest of five, the remaining five are concerned with supramundane consciousness. Unfortunately, I don't have enough time to share with you how it relates to supramundane consciousness, because I have more important things to talk to you. Okay, the next one, sangha, respect to the sangha. Here, the sangha refer to Arya sangha, the noble sangha, those who have gained enlightenment, including Sotapanna, Sakadagami, Anagami, and Arahant. But, since we do not know who are Arya sangha, and Arya Sangha are not supposed to tell the lay person, I am Arya. This is forbidden. The rules in the Vinaya, they cannot tell the lay person they have gained enlightenment. But they can tell among the monks. They cannot tell the lay person. Why? How to say? To prohibit those. If any monk, as we know, Theravada, Buddha say, if you offer anything to the enlightened Sangha, you gain more merit. So if a monk tell, oh, I have enlightened, I am Arahant, I am Sotapan, everybody want to offer to him, then other monks, no offerings. So Buddha see far-sighted. He said, the monk should not tell their level of enlightenment to the lay person. So since we do not know who is Arya Sangha, so we treat all monks as members of Sangha. Those who only want to offer to the Arya Sangha, I think this type of devotees, they do dana for their own benefit only. Because they only think, oh, I offer to the Arya Sangha, I have more merit. So he think of himself only. Although offer to the Sangha, Arya Sangha has more merit, it's true, but because your intention is selfish, so your merit also not 100% powerful, fulfilled. For Bodhisattva, Bodhisattva, when he do dana, he does not differentiate whether this recipient is a virtuous one or beggar or animal or a bad person, wicked person. He did not differentiate. As long as anybody asks something from him, he just give, even from his eyes, his limb, his life. As long as anyone asks something from him, he just give, because he want to fulfill his dana parami. Only when he fulfill his dana parami, he can become Buddha. So he cannot say, no, you are a bad person, I don't want to give you. No, he just give. This type of dana is the best one. But for lay person, because our mind is not as exalted as like the Bodhisattva, so sometimes we choose a recipient. But Buddha also say in the sutta, Buddha said, in order to make your dana fruitful, there are few requirements. For example, the recipient must be virtuous, and your offering, the thing come from you, also must be lawful obtained. Like some robber, they steal something and go and offer to the monks. So this type of things are called unlawful obtained. This is some merit also, but not full, not pure merit. And the offerer also must be sincere, and the best is offer with your own hands. Not like ask somebody, hey, they tell me to offer to the monk, and you go to the monk, I offer this to you and put on the table. This type of offering is lack of respect. Offer with two hands by yourself. This called humble. Humbly offer, respect, humble, offer your things, you gain more merit. Okay, this is a correct way to do the offering. Okay. So come back to our title. So if we do not pay respect to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, this will cause the disappearance of the true Dhamma. Okay, number four, not respect to training. What is this training? It should be trainings. What are these trainings? There are three, we have three trainings: Sila, Samadhi, Panya. We call Sila Sikha, Samadhi Sikha, Panya Sikha. Morality training, concentration training, and wisdom training. These are the three trainings. Morality training for monk, we have 2 to 7. For lay person, we have 5, 8, and 10. Among these three, morality training is the most easier. It's the easiest. But I also see many monks do not follow the morality training. Because I travel a lot. So if sometimes when I travel to Sri Lanka, I see many monks, not only here, many monks, they eat in the afternoon. And also many monks handle money. They accept money themselves. The money only can be handled into kapya. The monk themselves should not handle the money, should not touch the money themselves. Handle money is very common among the monks. When I travel, you know, I see so many monks handle money. So these are not allowed. If the monk do not respect the morality training, this will cause the true teaching of the Buddha disappear in the world. So if you want to become a monk, you got to consider whether you can follow the rules or not. If you cannot follow the rules, then don't become the person that caused the disappearance of the true teaching of the Buddha. So morality training, these are basic. Not handle money is a basic one. Not to eat in the afternoon is also very basic. Even a lay person can follow. When you come for retreat, you do not eat in the afternoon. So if the monk also take eat in the evening, it's very shameful. Okay, so respect, and your lay person must respect to your five precepts. The second one, respect to concentration training. Concentration training nowadays is largely ignored. Most people start directly from wisdom training, vipassana. And without putting forth effort, without respect to the concentration training, is also one of the causes that make the true teaching disappear. If you study sutta, you can see most of the sutta, Buddha prays jhana. The monk, after come back from Pitapat, finish his meal, then sit under the tree, then practice concentration, enter into first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, some even go to arupa jhana. After that, emerge from the rupa jhana, they go vipassana, then they enter into nibbana. So jhana concentration is highly praised by the Buddha, and you can see it is written everywhere in the sutta. But nowadays, concentration practice is largely ignored because people like shortcut. Jhana concentration takes long time. It takes long time to cultivate deep concentration. You practice, you know. The mind, when you sit down, the mind wander here and there. Think of the reflect of the past, plan for the future, your business, your house, your wife, your husband, everything come to the mind. It's so difficult to develop one-pointedness of the mind. And because it's difficult, that's why it is largely ignored. People say no time. And some teacher even say that you want to attend jhana, you need 20 years. This frightens the lay person even more. The lay person already had no time. And the teacher say, you need 20 years. No, not for me. I better go to vipassana. So sometimes the speaker also, the words of speaker, sometimes is very influential. Although, to attain, my opinion only, although because Buddha did not say very definitely in the sutta, you don't need jhana to become sotapanna. So whether we need jhana to become sotapanna or not, this topic becomes so controversial. And many monks also argue among themselves. Like as I know, there are two Western monks, famous Western monk. One says, you, according to the text, he is the translator of the old text. According to the text, he says that no need jhana in order to become sotapan. But another Western monk says that jhana is necessary to become sotapan. So this topic becomes so controversial now. My opinion, because Buddha do not say clearly in the sutta. But my opinion is that in order to become sotapan, you don't need jhana concentration, but certain degree of concentration is necessary. Maybe close to excess concentration is necessary in order for you to see clearly what are the five aggregates, in order to see clearly their impermanency, suffering and non-self. But my opinion, I always emphasize my opinion. Please don't tell other people, say, she say. Opinion can be changed, okay? So my opinion, but in order to become anagami, non-returner, I think jhana is necessary. Sotapan and sakadagami, very close to me. Because sakadagami does not eradicate any defilement, only lessen certain degree of anger and lust. So from a sotapan, in order to attain sakadagami is comparatively easy. But to become non-returner, anagami, is very difficult. So at the time, jhana concentration helps. This is my opinion, okay? So to practice concentration, we have in Visuddhimagga, the path of purification, we have 40 ways to practice concentration. For example, anapanasati, mindfulness of breathing, for Brahma Vihara, metta, mudita, metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. And we have 32 parts of the body, contemplate the impurity of the 32 parts of the body. And we have skeleton meditation, and we have four elements meditation. We have recollecting the virtues of the Buddha, contemplating the death, and contemplating the bliss, the peace of Nibbana, and so on. So we have 40 ways to practice concentration. Why Buddha give so many ways rather than one? Why? Because all beings have different tendency. Some beings are very lustful. Their greed are very strong. So for this type of being, maybe 32 parts are suitable for them. Some beings, they have very strong anger, very easy get irritated, angry type of person. And this type of being, loving kindness is suitable for them. Some beings are very restless. And for this type of being, anapanasati, mindfulness of breath, is suitable. So because beings have different type of tendency, then Buddha teach different way to suit their temperament. And the aim, certain meditation can reach excess concentration, certain meditation can reach jhana concentration. Excess concentration is neighborhood to jhana concentration. For example, four elements, contemplating of the dead, contemplating the quality of Buddha, this only reach excess concentration, no jhana concentration. Anapana reach for jhana concentration. Metta reaches third jhana concentration. Compassion reaches third jhana. Sympathetic joy reaches third jhana. And equanimity reaches fourth jhana. So not every meditation concentration samatha subject reach all jhana. No. Okay. The last one, no respect to the wisdom training. Wisdom training is vipassana training. To practice vipassana, we have to understand. We have to understand some basic knowledge of the teaching of the Buddha. For example, five aggregates: materiality aggregate, feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, formation aggregate, and consciousness aggregate. These five aggregates are the object of our craving, are the object of our clinging and identification. We identify our body, which is materiality aggregate, as I, mine, myself. We identify our feelings as I, mine, myself. We identify our consciousness as I, mine, myself. We identify our karma as I, mine, myself. That bring forth suffering. So if you practice vipassana, you do not understand five aggregates, it become difficult. And also six sense contact also are the object of our observation for vipassana. Six sense object: hearing, seeing, tasting, and so on. So in order to practice vipassana, some basic understanding is necessary. That's why I say pariyatti come first. Without the theoretical understanding, it's sometimes very difficult to practice. So if we, if all the monks, nuns, female lay followers, male lay followers respect to these three trainings, then the true teaching will not disappear. Okay? And the last one, if this four type of person, bhikkhu, bhikkhuni, upasaka, upasika, do not respect concentration practice, this will cause the disappearance of true teaching. So here you may ask, under concentration training, there is also concentration. Now why another concentration is mentioned here? So number five, do not respect the concentration. Here, according to commentary, refers only to immaterial jhana. We have material jhana, first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, and we also have immaterial jhana, arupa jhana, akasa namcha yatana jhana, the infinite space. Vijnana namcha, vijnana namcha yatana jhana, the infinite consciousness. Akinci nancha yatana jhana, the infinite nothingness. Nothingness. And the last one, neva sanya na sanya arupa jhana, neither perception nor non-perception. So if a commentary says that if we put effort to practice this, to attain this arupa jhana, immaterial jhana, then we are respecting the Dhamma. So these are the five detrimental things that lead to the decay and disappearance of the true Dhamma. Not respect to the Buddha, not respect to the Dhamma, not respect to the Sangha, not respect to three trainings, and not respect to the concentration training. And Buddha continue, there are five things, Kassapa, that lead to the longevity of the true Dhamma, to its non-decay and non-disappearance. What are the five? Here the bhikkhus, the bhikkhunis, the male lay followers and the female lay followers dwells with reverence and deference towards the teacher, the Buddha. Teacher here means Buddha. They dwell with reverence and deference to the Dhamma, to the Sangha, to the trainings, and to words concentration. This kassapa are the five things that lead to the longevity of the true Dhamma, to its non-decay and non-disappearance. So the long lasting of true Dhamma depend on four group of people: bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, female lay followers, and male lay followers. So don't think only monk and nuns take the responsibility. All of you also share the same responsibility for the long lasting of true teaching of the Buddha. Okay, so before we end, let us recite three times. May the true teaching last long. Okay, 1, 2, 3. May the true teaching last long. May the true teaching last long. May the true teaching last long. Sadhu, sadhu.